Hi, welcome to WilsonWiley.com. This is our leadership podcast. And today I am halfway around the world. I'm with Larry Kreider from Pennsylvania.
We're right here
in a town called Lititz.
Lititz, Pennsylvania, USA. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. And we are at Larry Kreider's studio. So I'm just so excited to be here with you in where you are. And it's just tremendous.
You're now a global podcaster.
Thank you. Well, Larry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure.
And DAF, which you founded.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up right here in this area. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a church home. And when I was 11 years of age, I gave my life to Christ.
Wow.
But I wasn't discipled, and honestly, my life didn't change very much. When I was 18 years of age, out of school, I had met a young girl that I really liked a lot, who really knew the Lord in a way I didn't.
Right.
And she one day said, "Larry, are you sure you go to heaven when you die?" And I said, "Nobody knows that." And she said, "Well, I do." And she was right. She
and,
really
and that's
did.
A very important question.
Yeah.
Girls, you should ask that question.
Exactly. And so I went home that night, and I remember I was so convicted by God. I opened up my Bible, and I hardly ever read. And it said, "You hypocrite." It was when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. And I realized God was speaking to me. And that night I said, "Jesus, if you can use my messed up life, I'll serve you. I'll give you my whole life, serve you the rest of my life." And he changed my heart that night.
Wow. And you, how old were you then?
I was 18. 18. And then we got involved in a youth Bible study. And we started to reach young people who didn't know the Lord at all. I had no Christian background in our local community. We wanted to see people come to Christ. And then they came to Christ. I married the same girl, by the way. That was good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. And we became missionaries for a year, came back in this youth ministry, and make a long story very short, we realized that you cannot place new wine in old wineskins.
Yeah.
New wine needs new wineskins, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
If you place new wine in old wineskins, you break the wineskins, lose the wine, and new life in Christ, these new Christians who knew nothing about Jesus. I was having Bible studies at our home for them, and we realized, and then later in our barn, and then in larger buildings, and realized that we need a new church for these new believers. So 1980, Dove started D-O-V-E, Declaring Our Victory, Emmanuel. So that's how it all started. Bang, it was 25 brave people back in 1980.
And tell us, what is DAF like today?
Well, you know, in those days, I remember our church just started, and I told my wife one day, I said, "Honey, wouldn't it be amazing if our church would grow to 200 people by the time we're 80? I'm 72 now.
Okay.
And we had no idea what God had planned, because over the next 15 years, our church had grown to over 2,300. We're starting churches in different parts of the world. And then we called Dove Chapter 1, Chapter 2, Chapter 3. Dove Chapter 1 was, I was pastoring this mega church and started a few churches in other parts of the world, Kenya, Brazil, Scotland. But then Chapter 2 was, we realized we were a multi-site church.
Yes.
We had 8 different sites. So we realized we're called to be a movement of churches globally. So we trained each of the leaders to be pastors of the churches, lead elders, we call them. And then there were 8 local, 3 overseas churches joined. So we were a family of churches of 11 churches worldwide.
Yes.
Well, fast forward chapter 2 then, fast forward till today, we've grown to churches in 25 nations, about 1,100 churches in 25 nations. It's just been the grace of God. It's been
That's amazing.
Chapter 3 is coming, because I'm going to be turning everything over to my successor, Merle Shank, in about 8 months. And that'll be chapter 3. We'll see what God does then.
It's just amazing when you look at what God is doing in a group of people,
right,
just simply trusting Jesus and wanting to be bold and courageous and do whatever God wants to do.
Right.
And just see the progression.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited that we've been able to see some of your journey, and
yeah,
I hope we will see the rest of its many years to come as well.
Amen. Amen. And I've enjoyed being with you many times in different parts of the world, in Asia.
Yes.
And just love what God is doing through you as you're now leading this Asian movement and now all over the world, which is it's really a joy to work with other movement leaders.
Yes, it is.
And see what God does globally.
Yes. Now, what will be some of your highlights of your ministry? What will be some things that really, you know, you treasure?
You mean as I look back, in ministry?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the things that I would treasure is my wife and I have been able to walk together as one. She's very different than I am. She's very pastoral. I'm more of a visionary leader. And she has really resourced my weaknesses so many, many times. I treasure that. We believe God's a God of relationship. And, of course, we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but then relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. And so God's helped us to build, he's done a relational movement. I treasure relationships. I mean, I'm working with people, some of these people you've met, people like Ron Meyer, Brian Salter, and others, who I work with now for 38, 40, 41, 42 years.
Which is incredible.
It's incredible. It's just incredible. And I didn't do that well in the beginning. We had lost some leaders after 10 years. Very painful. And I was just an immature leader. Didn't know how. Didn't realize I need spiritual fathers in my life. And just had a lot of vision. And I look back now, and I could have done things a lot better. But I do treasure even those relationships today, even though they're in different parts of the body of Christ, treasuring the relationships of all the people who walk with us all these years.
So are there any other highlights for yourself besides this relationship and just never worked so easily with your wife?
Yeah, well, you know, we're blessed with four wonderful children. Again, my wife and I have now ministered literally all over the world, you know, because of the Dove movement and helping other movements. And so we feel very, 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 very blessed. Just training next generation of leaders has been a highlight again and again and again to us. And our succession time is a highlight for us.
Yes.
Realizing that I'm decreasing, my successor who is 42, I'm 72, he's increasing, and it's wonderful. And it's been a great joy.
Wonderful. Now, of course, you know, when you have had ministry for 40 years,
right,
I'm sure you have had occasions where you had to go through some disappointments,
oh,
pains,
yeah. Oh,
difficult,
yeah,
moments.
Yeah.
How did you walk through those things?
Good question. I think that some of the most painful time I went through is after I was a pastor for about 10 years. And I just got tired of trying to make decisions with people who wanted to make decisions different than the ones I thought were right. And, you know, I was accused of things I knew weren't true. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to quit. I grew up in business. I wanted to go back into business. That's what I wanted to do. I remember I went to the mountains to pray, and the Lord made it clear he had called us to do what we're doing. And unless he uncalls us, I really didn't have a choice, really. Mm-hmm. Here's the greatest thing I learned. I learned this powerful truth that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Mm-hmm. I realized, and this was huge for me, I was trying to get my significance, my security, out of what people thought of me,
yeah,
rather than what God thought of me.
Yeah.
And went back to that simple truth. And I also realized that I didn't have any spiritual fathers in my life. I had no one to look to. Mm-hmm. And when we started, we did.
Yeah.
And then things, we were growing, God was blessing, so we realized that we thought we didn't probably need spiritual fathers very much because God was blessing us.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got very difficult, and we lost some good leaders and went to other parts of the body of Christ, and it was very, very difficult. But when that happened, I realized that my significance can only come from God, not come from what I do.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with the movement. It has to do with my relationship with Jesus. That's what counts.
That's, I think, so fundamental, yeah, for all of us, even if, yeah, we're in leadership or not, actually.
Exactly.
It's so fundamental, but sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we're,
right,
caught up,
right,
in who we look,
right,
like.
Yeah. A really humorous thing happened. One of our leaders, his name is Steve Prokopchak, one of our long-term leaders. He's a real counselor. And so I, in the midst of the pain I was going through, I went to his office and I said, Steve, we hired you to be a counselor for many people. I want you to counsel me. And so I said, I'm just tired. I'm weary. I'm just tired of trying to share vision with people. They have another vision. It's just not working. You know, two visions become the vision, you know.
Yes.
And he said, he was very patient, very kind, prayed with me. He said, and this is the day, Wilson, of cassette tapes way back in the,
yes,
day. He said, I have this cassette tape I'm going to give you. This is going to help you. I said, well, thank you. 2 weeks later, I'm driving down the road. In my car was a cassette player. I put the cassette tape in. And the speaker was talking about people who have a Messiah complex. They try to be the Messiah.
Mm.
They try to fix everybody.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is really good. That sounds like what I'm going through. I listened a little more and I thought, this sounds so familiar. I realized the guy on the cassette tape was me. He gave me my own teaching. I had been training pastors about a year before that and talking about don't have a Messiah complex. And here I fell into the same trap. He thought it was really, really fun. It really was. But that's what happened. And that was some of the fun we had in the midst of some of the pain. But looking back, we saw the grace of God again and again and again. And today we have wonderful relationships with the even these persons who've gone to other parts of the body of Christ. We kept the relationship, and we have a wonderful relationship. And we're very grateful for the way they sewed into our lives, our movement for the season they were with us.
Mm. Incredible. You know, one of the things with in this interview, I'm trying to tease out some of your secrets on the longevity of your ministry, because it's not often that we can say to somebody who has been in senior roles of leadership, this, in your case, a global role of leadership for 4 decades and still looking forward to more.
Mm-hmm. I am.
What would be some of your keys you've learned to keep the freshness in your ministry and in your life?
Well, number one is keeping short accounts, you know, not allowing, ever allowing any bitterness to spring up. Hebrews 12, you know, talks about that root of bitterness can spring up and defile us, defile many others. So keeping short accounts, forgiving quickly. And number two is recognizing the power of the grace of God. And we look back, and the reason we have long-term relationships is because of the grace of God. It's just God's grace. And thirdly, I say all over the world, I mean, we've just been blessed to work with good people. I mean, God's provided good people. I don't try to do their role. They don't try to do my role. We each find our own role that we do well, and we resource our weaknesses and honor one another. And I'm so blessed with people who can do things so much better than I can. I don't try to do that. They're good at that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's made a big difference. And obviously, our walk with God, our daily walk with God, it's all about Jesus. It's all about our relationship with Him. That's what really, really counts. And then our relationship with those close to us, relationship with my wife, our family, our kids, our grandkids, 6 grandkids. You know, that is a real joy and a real blessing also.
Mm. I think there's something special when you work with a team of people, a group of people, that you actually enjoy working together. It just makes it special.
It's been a real joy for us. And it's been a blessing seeing nation, you know, people in many nations come to Christ and churches started and training and leadership and writing books and all those things. But it's really down to a relationship with Jesus. And really, you get down to the bottom line. That's really what it's all about, and loving Him and walking with Him.
Now, can I ask you a question? What advice would you give to some younger leaders who are in or stepping to senior roles like this, whether it be national or bigger roles? What would be some advice?
Number one, without Him, we can do nothing.
Yeah.
We just need Jesus desperately. Number two, learn from everyone you can. You know, I've read so many books. And the reason I'm a writer is because I've been helped by so many other people's books. People even who are gone, people like D.L. Moody, the evangelist, people like John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, people like Charles Finney, the revivalist. You know, I've learned so much from them. And so always, never stop learning. Always learn. I remember I was in New Zealand years ago, and I was ministering at a church, and there was an apostolic leader. I was a young leader. There was this apostolic leader there who was well known in the nation. I was asked to speak at his church. So on I got there on a Sunday night service, and he had a coffee bar down below the bottom part of the church building. And he sat down with me, and he said, now, as soon as you're done preaching, we're going to come down here. I have a lot of questions to ask you. But why is he asking me questions? I want to ask him questions. But I realized that was a key to his life. He had learned to ask questions. He had learned to try to learn from everyone he could. And once we think we know it all, we're in trouble. Because we don't. We just need God. We need others. We need the body of Christ.
That's so wise and advice. And I truly see that it's important too.
Yeah.
We all have to be learners. Keep ourselves humble.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for your time. It's wonderful
to
be with you and your studio and to do this podcast together.
It was a joy to have you here. Welcome to Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Well, God bless all of you.
We trust you've been blessed by the word today. Do visit www.wilsonliling.com for more messages and teachings. For the latest news and updates, follow Facebook and Instagram, wilson.liling.